This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke. From Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks, and I just completely lost my voice. It's fine, though.
I'm Amy Simone, and I'm still weird.
And we're here to talk about a little show on ABC you might have heard of. It's called Once Upon a Time. And we are very, very excited to be here.
Ooh.
Someone is feeding sound back to us. I wonder who it is. Is there someone without headphones on, maybe?
Oh, that's probably me. Sorry, guys.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. Well, this is our first guest, Michael Lucero. How you doing, Michael? Because we're here for our third Once If special, if we hadn't got around to talking about it yet. But hi, Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, sorry about that. Like, we weren't having the feedback issue before. But it happens. And also joining us again, since we had such tech fails last time is a... Ooh, who's that coming from? Okay, I think we're okay now. Okay, there we go. Okay, Amy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you?
Good. Minus the tech issues, but the computer's not melting down like it was last time, so that's a positive.
Woo-hoo! Not yet.
Hey.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
Probably.
And thank you for joining us, Amy. And also our third guest for this Once If special is Hope. How you doing, Hope?
So you know how I talked so badly about the Frozen arc 4A? Uh-oh. It's finally getting its revenge on me.
Oh, yeah, because
you are currently
joining us over the telephone. If you guys don't know what a telephone is, it's a little device you hook up to your wall that you can call out on. It's kind of like the internet, but more limited. And we had to use one of those to call Hope because she's having a sleet and power outages in her neighborhood. Right, Hope?
Yeah, it's been sleeting since about 2 p.m., and I was hoping it would hold out, but about 30, 45 minutes ago, our power went out, so.
Oh, no.
There you, Elsa. This is what you get, Elsa.
Darn it.
I will never speak bad about 4A again. It didn't work. Power still out.
Well, I think if nothing else, probably Elsa and Anna are glad that you've decided to finally let it go. So.
Oh,
God.
Always have to.
Interesting enough, I went to a doctor the other day, and we were talking about Once Upon a Time, and I got his insight as a non-Frozen watcher, and he was saying how, like, the entire half season completely went over his head because he knew absolutely nothing about Frozen.
Nice.
And so I found that interesting from a non-Frozen watcher.
Yeah.
Good perspective. Okay, so Once If special, if you guys haven't tuned in before, basically we just we kind of throw out what if X had happened or what if Y hadn't happened in Once Upon a Time.
And then what if ABC danced along and did a jig?
Exactly. The network.
What if
the network ABC was into clogging is one of the questions we ask. And then we just kind of extrapolate out and figure out what might have happened on the show. You were going to say something, Hope?
Oh, I was just going to say, what if Once Upon a Time was on HBO? Then it came out.
That'd be a whole different kind of show.
It would be a whole
I talked with my friend before, and we were saying that, like, Neil and Emma, they were from A Lot of This World, they would actually be the people who would, like, drop swear words. So, like, Neil would be like, holy F, oh my God. Like, that would be Neil's character.
Nice. Okay.
See, I think it would have basically been exactly the show we have now, except everybody would have been topless every episode.
Oh. I don't think that could work for some people, but I'll take some not.
Oh, what was that, Michael?
Oh, have you guys ever seen Weeds?
Oh yeah,
we have.
Yes,
that's a great show. That wasn't
HBO, but I'm kind of thinking if this was like on one of those networks like that, Henry probably would have pulled a Shane and have killed somebody by now.
At least one person.
Yeah. Yes. I kind of think Henry might have already done that.
I find it hard to believe that the only guy who has only taken off his shirt in the entirety of the show is Jamie Dornan, and then it became really fitting.
Then it made total sense.
That was his audition.
When are we going to see Grumpy Topless? That's what I want to know.
But Grumpy on greetings. Grumpy on greetings.
Grumpy Topless?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. Okay, but Anne-Marie, hashtag grumpy topless.
Oh.
Okay, Anne-Marie, you had our first topic here.
Our first topic is, what if Once Upon a Time started before Twitter was a thing, a.k.a. before we had all the hashtag wars and the shipping and all of the craziness. Ready, set, go.
It would be like this podcast would be the way I am right now.
All over the telephone.
On the phone.
No, we'd be on ham radio.
No, but actually, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is I originally heard of this topic for the first time from our buddies Bree and Alex from Other Side of the Mirror, and they did an entire episode about Once Upon a Time in the Twitter Age. And sadly, they are not a podcast anymore, but you should check them out with the Fangirl, because I'm a writer for that as well, too. Yay! Plug in.
Plug.
But it's a very interesting – fandom itself is an interesting beast, because it kind of defines and shapes a show. Mm-hmm. And some showrunners, like, for example, the Supernatural writers, they just completely ignore they love their fandom. They really embrace it. They love hearing from the fans. They take a lot of the fan things. Like, they totally ran with Destiel because of the fans. Mm-hmm. And then teasing the fans with that. But then there's other showrunners, they just completely ignore the fans. They don't care. They take the input and just throw it out the window, and they just do their own thing. And I don't feel like Adam and Eddie do that. Adam doesn't have to be on Twitter pretty much every single day, mm-hmm. just answer questions and do stuff. And it's actually a very special thing that these actors are so very open to their fans. That is both a good thing and a bad thing, because, like, while we can give, like, instant feedback, like, stuff was brave and true, it was instantaneous that people were unhappy of how Tamara killed Pinocchio. Mm-hmm. And Adam and Eddie, like, not even a few days later, came out and interviewed, and they were like, we recognize that was a big mistake. we got so many lessons on what wood does not do with electricity that it made our heads spin. But then you also have, like, other things where it can be very negative. For example, when Blue died in Neverland, quote-unquote, like in that one, like, episode where everybody thought she died, people were tweeting Keegan Connor Tracy, and they were like, I'm glad you're dead. And she's like, it's not me.
Oh, wow.
But they...
Wow.
Yeah, like, people were telling her that she was glad that she was dead, and it was her character. I mean, so...
That's harsh.
This fandom I've been... Yeah, and this fandom's an interesting one. I've been watching it for a while now, and it kind of reminds me of, like, another fandom of a show called Hitalia. And what I can gather that's what's similar about Hitalia is that it's an anime, and they personify the nations of the world, and then they take you through history. But the thing is, Hitalia has a relatively young fandom. The core of their fandom is probably about 13 to 18. And then you have people like me who are much more mature and we're totally cool and stuff. But then you have people, and that's kind of how I feel about Once Upon a Time. It's not that people are younger and mature. It's their first fandom. And a lot of them don't know how to act in a fandom. They don't know, like, what to do and what not to do, or, like, and what's okay and what's not okay, because they just don't have that exposure, and a lot of them don't go to conventions, but they have Twitter, and so it's a very interesting fandom, and it reminds me a lot of the Italians, except for they're not quite as violent as the Italians.
I definitely think that a lot of them too. I think a lot of people in the Once fandom go tweeting to the actors and the crew members and stuff like that, like they're not actually reading it, like it's a service that they've hired to manage their tweets. But I mean, especially in Once, a lot of the people are actually reading their tweeters too. Their tweeters.
Yeah. Their tweeters. The tweeters.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird because I never, until we started doing this, ever considered myself at all a part of any sort of a fandom mm-hmm. or did anything like this. I was not that person. I really sometimes still am not that person. I don't get involved in the Twitter fights and the tweet. I don't know. I don't live yeah. tweet. I can't stand live tweeting. It makes me twitchy sometimes. Like, I just...
I was wondering that. Like, I've been looking for your Legends of Gotham tweets or something.
Yeah, well, we would be tweeting right now.
We're live tweeting
we're
right now.
We're live tweeting right now. Legends of Gotham. Yeah, we're not live tweeters. I feel a little... I mean... It's spoilery for those who can't watch it then, but it also distracts and you can't actually enjoy the show. Maybe live tweet it the second time you watch it. Yeah, but
actually, I would say our notes are probably the closest notes, we do to live tweeting.
Yeah, and mine are usually just quotes.
But Michael, you had something you wanted to mention?
No, it's interesting. It's an interesting aspect of the fandom / social media aspect of watching entertainment today. Is that I have a second shift job, so I'm only able to do this tonight because it's a holiday. Mm-hmm. And so usually when y'all are watching these shows, especially like Gotham and stuff like that, I am at work, so I'm not able to watch them when they're airing, like a lot of people. And so I'll get on Twitter and I'll see all these spoilers mm-hmm. and I'll be like, well, I wish I kind of hadn't read that.
Yes.
But it's an interesting experience because some of these tweets aren't really spoilers, but not spoilers. They'll refer to something, but they won't tell you exactly what happens. So you're forced to like make your own interpretations of what you think that means. So you're kind of expecting something to happen along certain lines, right. but you don't know exactly what's going to happen. So you're looking for it. And a lot of the times when it comes, you're like, well, that's not exactly what I was imagining when right. I read that tweet. So it's weird because you're letting somebody's like third hand observation shape how your expectation of a show is going to be.
Yeah. And I know not everybody does it, but I try not to tweet spoilers myself, or I make up stuff. Like, I think there was one time I was live tweeting Gossip, and I somehow made Harvey Bullock a Time Lord. So, I don't know how I did, but I personally try not to tweet spoilers. But what I really like most about having this, like, online fandom, though, is when I was a kid growing up, like, I was big into Digimon and Pokemon, and I still love the shows. Like, I still adore those shows and those games. But I only had, like, one, maybe two people physically with me to share in that love, because it was before internet and everything. Now, if I love a show, I've met so many people. I've met all of you guys. I've met Ashley Benson. I've met, like... many people, and 99.9 of them are really cool. And then I've gone on to meet them in real life at conventions, where once again, 99.9 of them are cool.
Me and Anne-Marie are the 0.1% of people you've met at conventions that were cool.
No, you're not.
It's cool. Nothing cool.
It's just one person, and she's an active bully, and I don't understand how she has so many followers. I just don't, because she's an active bully. She's bashed people. She harasses the actors every single day. And I don't understand how she has so many of the actors following her, and she has so many people following her.
The reason they're probably following her, specifically the actors, is to keep tabs on what she's doing. If she's being like that, it's so that they know if something's been thrown out there and if they have to control it or respond, if it's something that requires a response, because it could start a thing. So
she's lucky at Dragon Con this last year. Like, she punched me, and I know Miss Lut knocked her lights out, because I'm a pacifist, but she punched me, and it wasn't like a playful punch. It was a full rear back punch me in the arm, and I almost knocked her lights out, because I'm a pacifist, but I will defend myself. And I told her flat out, I was like, you touch me like that again, little girl.
Nice. Not happening.
But, like, yeah, she's just obsessive. Like, she's the girl who would, like, stand outside of Beth Mater's booth all day long.
Yeah, that can just get creepy and disturbing. That discourages, you know, the actors and crew members and stuff from coming out and engaging with the fans,
right,
too.
Right, because they don't want them involved in that.
Yeah.
Hey, Amy, what about...
people that's, like, really... Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to see what Amy had to say about the whole Twitter thing, because she's been pretty quiet over there.
She's been chatting.
I know. She's been in the chat room.
Hey, I said one thing in the chat room. That's it.
We caught you.
We saw it.
But My thing with the Twitter is that I don't really live tweet anything purely because I type one-handed, so it's hard for me to concentrate on what I'm typing and what I'm watching on TV at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then if I sometimes DVR what I watch, so I go back and watch it later so I can avoid the commercials. Mm-hmm. So if I don't want to know anything, I tend to avoid Twitter, Tumblr, whatever social media people I follow that, you know, like Hope, you know, like if her GIF reactions happen before I can see, you know, the episode, I completely avoid her before I watch it, and then I go back and watch it.
Yeah, I do that a
but,
lot.
So I will say, as a point, if you don't watch commercials, it hurts the ratings. You have to watch the commercials.
Oh, really?
Those are counted as part of the ratings, because the way they do the ratings is within, like, I think 24 hours, and part of that is if the commercials are watched or not. And if you fast forward through the commercials, it will not count in the ratings.
Well, I always watch commercials so I know what not to buy. So I'll always watch the commercials in the future, I guess. Okay.
But it'd be interesting. If we didn't have internet, we wouldn't have podcasts either. Like, you know, this is an age where we have podcasts, and it, like, podcasts are considered members of the press now.
Oh, yeah, which is very cool. And I mean, we've gotten more cooperation from the people over at Fox than we have ABC.
Quite a bit.
But, you know, I know the ABC people have definitely been very friendly with a couple of the other ones, podcasts and stuff,
yeah,
which is cool. And you know, engagement, too. It's really cool, you know, how we got, like, Jared Joseph to call in.
Yes!
For I think the 100th episode
awesome.
Or whatever. That was awesome. And
it's
really cool just being able to, you know, interact with people on a one-on-one basis too, which is something you did. Like I talked a little bit as we were having Tech Meltdown last week. I used to be majorly the first like
here
big
it comes.
Online fandom I was involved in was for a show that was on ABC 8 p.m. on Sunday nights called Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. And we all gathered around. We didn't gather around the Twitters, or we didn't have podcasts or anything like that. We had what was called a listserv. You might be familiar with these from college or something. Basically like a big email list that you know, you emailed to one email address and it would send your message out to everybody on the listserv. So basically the listserv would go silent from 8 to 9 or about 8:55 p.m. Mm-hmm. And then 8:55 p.m., just hundreds of messages. Oh, do you think General Nod is General Zod and all this kind of stuff, you know, flying out there. And it wasn't like as instant a reaction as you have now, but there was still
right.
kind of like that instant reaction. And I know that there were stories that were told at like fan conventions and stuff like that, where basically, you know, I guess the cast and crew of Lois and Clark actually printed out the listserv like the night after an episode aired and like passed it around the set to
see
cool. what the fans were saying and stuff. They even actually in one episode on a plaque by a well, they actually put, I think it was like 10 names of like people who were very active in the community. Mine was among them.
Shocking.
Which was cool.
Shocking.
So if you go around and find a SD copy of Lois and Clark, you may be able to see the name Meeks there somewhere.
the last point I have about Twitter age is whenever the last con was like a week or two ago, I know Ashley from Montana Fan was there, mm-hmm. and she wrote that Lee Arnberg, who's Grumpy and Leroy, mm-hmm. he said that they read all these. The actors, the cast and crew, they read all these. And he was discouraging hate in the fandom because the actors, they do see it. They do watch it. They do read these. And it does affect them. And it does affect, like, whether or not they do want to do certain things. They hear us. They might not be able to get to all the stories right away because they, of course, only have so many episodes in a season
right.
and so many things to tell. But, I mean, He was very strong about not spreading fandom hate through Twitter and all that because they do see it.
Right.
Well, the other thing about Twitter that I kind of like, I like all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one of those people who watch the special features on DVDs and stuff like that. So that's why I kind of follow a lot of the actors because I get to see that kind of stuff on their Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Adam and Eddie do the titles on the scripts.
Right. I love the title spoilers.
Or like the random quote from a script or something like that, and you don't know which episode it is, but you kind of know once you see the, you know, hear it.
Which, by the way, we discussed several of those in our episode 111, The Spoiler Party. Go ahead, Amy. Amy was on.
But I've also noticed that, you know, the actors do the live tweeting, like, during the show so they can interact with, you know, the fans while, you know, while the show's going on and stuff. Or I've seen actors on different TV shows have like funny stories. Like if one scene just happened on TV, the actor on Twitter would be like, oh, during this scene, this thing happened, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, and that's like the new marketing too now. Cause like before, if you wanted spoilers, like you would have to wait like for the episode of the issue of Entertainment Weekly to come out like the week before or like TV Guide or like anything like that. But now like that is the new marketing. Like we haven't really gotten much of any real promos other than that one promo for what is it? Darkness on the Edge of Town, the first episode.
Yeah.
That's the only promo we've really gotten, but we've gotten so much more from the tweets and the behind the scenes stuff. And sometimes they're great. Like what I think what they're doing right now is great. And sometimes they're awful. Like the Pretty Neverland. Oh my God, please bring those back. Awful photos. They really.
This actually reminds me of something I heard. Scott Aukerman, who does Comedy Bang Bang, was on the Nerdist podcast today, and they were talking about this a little bit, where back, you know, 10 years ago or so, you know, the main thing networks wanted, you know, for a show to be a success, they wanted 80% of the people to think it was okay and, you know, okay enough to tune in every week. Now it's completely reversed and they want 20% of the people to be head over heels in love with the show or the movie or whatever they're trying to promote. And as long as they have that 20% of hardcore audience, then they'll end up making their numbers and their money somewhere along the way. So it's gone from caring about the 80% broad to the 20% niche, you know? Yeah. So.
Interesting. And I feel like the fandom is smarter now because we do have more access to a lot more tools that like we can be very critical and have that instant critical reaction to straight to a writer or straight to an actor. So I think that's it's going to affect how TV shows are written in general. They have to be smarter because you have such a savvy fandom.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely imperative for people who are involved in fandoms and especially in like leadership positions in fandoms and stuff to kind of stress the rules of good criticism too.
Yes.
Because you say that sucks or her hair was bad, so I don't like that character. That's not good criticism.
Right.
You know, and that's something we try to
do. So are you saying you don't like my criticisms of Snow's costuming? Please make her look more like a woman. Stop dressing her in bags.
No, there's nothing wrong with going to an actor or writer and saying, I didn't like this for this reason, but I'm so glad that you guys are doing the show and thank you for your hard work. Like, there's nothing wrong with saying that. And I don't think people think the actors and the writers enough for their hard work. We wouldn't have a show.
Yeah, and
they respect us.
Yeah,
no one sets out to make a bad show either. So, you know, everyone's trying to do their best.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Amy.
Oh, well, what Hope was saying about how, you know, the fandom acts and reacts to, and how the actors act to a different, to how, you know, the fans and stuff. I don't know if you guys heard of the show. It's called Rain. It's about Mary Queen of Scots and stuff like that.
I like the sound.
Well, there was a shipper issue last season where a lot of the fans didn't like where the storyline for a certain couple was going. And so they pretty much said on Twitter they were boycotting the rest of the show. They're not going to watch it, nothing. And it was like this big whole boycott.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the actresses of the show pretty much came on Twitter and said, I can't believe you guys are doing this. We worked so hard for this show. Just because you don't like where this storyline is going doesn't mean you have to boycott it because – you know, you don't like this one certain aspect of the show.
There's been some ships who have done that for once, and I hate to break them to you. Like, as savvy and smart as this fandom is, we are a small percentage of people on Twitter. Because, like, just in my family, I am one person, and my two sisters, my mom, my brother, and just in my family, I am one up against four of other households that do not have or use Twitter. There is such a huge general, we sell the Once Upon a Time comic in our store, and I talk to oncers a lot. And so many of them are not involved in the fandom. They're just general audience. And so if people boycott the show, it's still such a small percentage.
Yeah, but it was just big enough for the actress, one of the actresses to know in order for her to say something, you know?
Right.
That's what caught my
attention. Yeah, JMO's had to do it before. Goodwin, they've had to come out and say stuff like that.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm kind of with Anne Marie on the whole fandom thing. I appreciate everything you all are saying, and I don't really get involved with fandom, at least not on this show, much, especially not on Tumblr. I've dipped my toe in there, and it's not something I want to go back into.
It scares me.
But the larger point I want to make is that this sort of interaction with the show, I think, is unhealthy for a really fundamental reason, which is that I'm thinking of something that I think it was C.S. Lewis who wrote, that the first demand that any work of art creates upon us is that we open ourselves up to us, to surrender to it, and to just, you know, to be paying attention basically to what the story is doing, what the characters are doing, and not what we think we would rather it be doing. I mean, I think there's probably a place for that, but when you take that and make that be like what you think your whole experience of the show should be, you're not paying attention to the story. You're not paying attention to what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what are you even a fan of at that point?
Right.
Yeah. You know?
See, I'm the opposite. Like, I grew up in fandoms. Like, my mom was a Trekkie. I've been going to conventions since I was a kid. Like, it is my life. It is my vocation. I want to write for entertainment and news, and, like, that is my vocation. So, like, being involved in fandoms has always been a part of my existence. That being said, I fully understand that these are normal people doing a 9-to-5 job, and sometimes longer. Like, they have, like, 10, 12, 14-hour days. Right. I've been there. I've worked in the theater. Like, but so I think if people would step back and realize that these are just regular people doing a job, like, no one's going to come into my comic book store and be like, oh, my God, it's Hope. She's selling comics. Oh, like, no one's going to do that to me. So, like,
you know, we have to do that now, right, Anne-Marie?
Oh, that
we almost have to.
Oh my gosh, please do. My coworker thing, I'm such a dork, and
we will reaffirm
anyway,
that.
But I mean, also, like, I think if people, like, my advice to Twitter people is, if you don't like something in a show, that's okay. It's okay if you don't agree with the show or the course of the show. And I've had to do this a lot, especially during the Frozen arc. I did this a lot. Write a fake tweet, but don't send it. Like, write as many fake tweets as you can just to get those emotions out, and then take a step back or walk away from the computer, relax a bit, and then think of a constructive tweet. Because there was a lot of times where I was just like, bleep, 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 freaking Frozen, bleep, bleep. Like, there's so many times I was like that. But, I mean, it's not good for the show. It's not good for you as a fan. And it just generally makes you look bad.
Yeah, and, you know, a rule it's really three rules that we kind of follow here on the show, I think. And we've talked about this a little bit before. To make sure that our criticism is constructive, and it's basically three I believe a Goethe came up with these rules for theater criticism. And it's something I've always followed when, you know, reviewing fiction, reviewing stories, things like that. Three simple rules. The first is what was done. This is intention. This is form. So what did the artist intend to do? And what are you watching? So in the case of Once Upon a Time, they wanted to make...
What are you watching?
A soap opera-esque... primetime television show. So, okay, that's one. What was done? Second question, how well was it done? How well did they do making a soap opera-esque primetime television show? So you have to understand the format and everything else while you're saying how well was it done. And then the thing you have to end up with is, was it worth doing? Was the combination of elements that they threw together in this format Did it add value to the world? Do I feel like a better person, or at least a more entertained person, having watched it? And those are kind of the rules of kind of the guidelines we try to follow to make sure that we're fair and we're just and we're not insulting in our criticism.
We try very hard not to go, that sucked.
Yeah, that
yeah.
sucked. Right. Do better.
I'm not really involved in the fandom as much. Mm-hmm. The only really way I'm involved is, you know, talking to you guys and listening to the podcast and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I just pretty much watch the show and sometimes maybe share my opinion on Twitter. But that's it. I've never actually, you know, said my comments directly to, you know, the actors or anything like that.
I don't think I
like
have
that.
Either, actually. Yeah. Don't listen to the show. They don't know anything we said.
No one tell Sean McGuire about Robin Hood face, please.
No,
You know,
I think that would actually help things if people learn to agree to disagree more and be respectful about it. Like, there's a girl named Chelsea that I follow on Tumblr, and she is a hardcore Frankenwolfer shipper, and that's Whale and Ruby. And I have always, ever since the Doctor, been a mad Whale shipper. Jefferson and Whale are my main ship of Once Upon a Time, so you can see how well they're doing. So, but, I mean, we had one night sat down, and over Tumblr had a very constructive conversation about Frankenwolf, about, like, the structure of it, what it would do for the show, how it would help or hurt the show, what it would do for the characters. And I disagreed with every single point because it just wasn't my ship. But I and she did the same thing back at me for Mad Whale. The thing is, we were very respectful. She'd be like, you know, I hear you on your point. I just don't see how that would work. And we were, and at the end of the day, we were still friends. Like, we had an entire conversation about disagreeing with each other's point of view. But, like, we still follow each other. We're still respectful. And I think if more fans learn to agree to disagree and be respectful towards that, because there are, like, just that one girl I was telling you about. If you don't agree with her, she will, like, call you out on it. She would tell you, she tells her little followers to attack you on it. And she's just a big old jerk face. That's in the nicest way possible. Because yeah. I've had some strong words in the past for her, so. But, I mean, like, that. I think if more people can learn how to respect each other's differences and their opinions, even if you don't agree on it, that is the way to do it.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's a good
just
point.
Just to be clear.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I just want to be clear. I'm not against, like, fandom or fan fiction or anything like that, or shipping or anything like that. Nope. I'm just saying that, I mean, if it wasn't for fan fiction, we wouldn't have the King Arthur mythology. I mean, that was just one medieval writer fan fictioning off of what five other medieval writers had done. But I'm just saying that it has to, you have to distinguish between, like, what the main story is doing and not, I don't know. You guys know what I'm saying.
We got you.
No, sorry, Michael, we already notified Tumblr that you're anti-fandom, so.
They'll be locking down your account tonight.
My account will be deleted. By the end of
the night. I respectfully agree to disagree with Michael.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Okay.
You know,
that was a joke. That was a joke, Michael. Sorry. What a bad joke.
Here, let's. I wanted to point out a couple things that were said in the chat room, and then I think we're going to move on to the next topic here. Patty just said that she doesn't send any complaints to the actors or the crew. She sends them all to me and Anne Marie. Thank you, Patty,
for
that.
We like feedback.
Angel says that she usually tries to warn people before she'll be live blogging a show. And Bobby revealed that he used to be a Nielsen family, which I thought was kind of cool. Bobby Hawk.
Bobby Hawk, the Nielsen kid.
Okay, so next topic.
Topic.
Okay. What? Oh, with a phone, it just sounds like you just got stuck inside a metal can. Like
it's
you were stuck inside like
that. That's what it sounds on this side, too.
Yeah. Are you okay with your Campbell soup over there?
No, I'm not. Okay, what? Hey, okay, that's it. What if Cora wasn't killed in season two? Discuss.
What if Cora wasn't killed in season two? What would have happened?
What would have happened?
Well, Snow would still be a pure white character.
Maybe. That was two
seasons
ago.
I
want to
see Snow White and Peter Pan battle.
Ooh.
I just thought of the worst joke. I'm sorry. What'd you say, Amy?
I said I want to see Cora and Peter Pan battle it out.
Yes. I think that would have been
really
good.
I think they would have joined forces against Rumble. I don't think they would have battled it out. I think she would have been like, Hook, you're useless. Hey, Tan, what's up?
Oh, no. Okay, what I think is that they'll get together to get rid of Rumble at first, but then when it's just the two of them, they'll battle it out. Like, they'll get rid of everybody, and then it'll be just the two of them, and it'll be one-on-one. It'll be Peter Pan versus Cora.
And who would win?
Yeah,
you know, from the Regina point of view, I think Regina would have gone. Oh, sorry.
It would be Survivor Once Upon a Time edition.
Hunger Games.
That too.
I think Regina would have stayed on the same path, so I think she would not have changed. I think that was always the writer's intention, was to redeem her to the Charming. I think it just would have been a much harder path because she would still. It was her mother's death what pushed her to move on. I think she would have probably lingered with Cora a lot longer, and possibly gotten Henry really hurt in the process.
Oh, definitely.
I can see that.
I also think with Korra's level of power, Pan probably would have been killed outright by her. If not by her, then definitely by a combination of her, Rumpel, and Regina. When you combine those three levels of power, if that had happened, you wouldn't be able. Rumpel wouldn't have had his sacrificial moment.
Especially if you add Emma to that mix, it would probably.
Because, like, I think we would have gotten more story Brooke, and, like, that would have been probably more active, because Korra, there was a chance, would probably not go to Neverland, you know, so she'd be left alone in story Brooke. So, like, I don't even think all of Team Neverland would have stayed, because I think Regina, I don't know if Regina would have stayed behind. Like, does she face her mother or save her son?
On the live stream, we're back. Go ahead, Michael, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that Korra would have gone to Neverland because at that point her main motivation was Regina and trying to restore some kind of relationship with her. And if Henry is in danger, Regina's definitely going.
Yeah.
So Korra would go, and then if Korra ended up killing Pan, which I can really see her doing, she's really the type that says, you know, let's take the blunt force, let's use like all our power and just wipe him out, get him, don't worry about doing the right thing, just get the job done. And then Rumpel wouldn't have had that sacrificial moment, but on the other hand, he also wouldn't have gotten killed in that sacrificial moment. Mm-hmm. So he probably wouldn't have gone evil in the Frozen storyline, because that was the main reason that he went back to his old ways, was because like dying and being that was like too traumatic, and he was like, I'm not ever gonna go through that again, so that's why he wanted to get the hat and all that.
See, I disagree.
Okay.
You disagree?
Continue. I do. I think Korra has always been out for herself. I mean, she even tells Zelina, I'm doing what's best for me. I think Regina has always been a pawn in her plan. I think if Regina would have gone to Neverland anyway, and Korra would have stayed behind, because there's this fresh, unprotected new little kingdom called Storybrooke for her to take as her own, and King George is there, I think she would have found allies with him. And I think when the Charming family came back, Storybrooke would be taken over, and they would have to stop Korra as well. Yep. And so you would have Pan and Henry.
That's definitely possible, but I'm just thinking about Korra's motivation. Like, even in the past, it has been to get power, but it's been to get power for Regina. Like, everything she did was, like, twisted and crazy, but it was all, she thought she was doing what was best for Regina.
Mm-hmm. Well,
trying to.
Let's say this. This is something I just happened to think about. Have we established in this what-if scenario if it's before or after Korra gets her heart back? Because, you know, there's that moment in the episode where Korra dies. Regina puts the heart back in her chest, and right before it kills her, because it snows.
You were enough.
You would have been enough.
You would have been enough.
So what happens in that world where Korra becomes good again?
Well, good.
They probably all turn against Rumpel, wouldn't they? I think at that point. Because, I mean, he's probably the baddest guy on the chessboard at that
point.
He's
the baddest of the baddies.
I think she would follow a Rumpel path. Like, I think she would still struggle with power. Because even with her heart, she still always wanted to do what was best to make her in a position of power. So I think she would have been in a very similar Rumpel scenario, and maybe she would have still tried to get the dagger to have the most power, even if it would be to protect Regina and to protect this newfound family. I think that she would have gone down that path as well.
Interesting.
And I mean, I can definitely also see hope. I can see like a scenario like 3 or 4 months removed from the episode where she was supposed to die, where it's just like a wide shot of Storybrooke and only the library is still standing. Everybody's walking around like serfs down Main Street, like just complete like dystopian Storybrooke, courtesy of Korra.
Okay, so that would be funny too.
Wow.
It would. Dystopian Storybrooke. Sorry, I like my effect. Go ahead, Amy.
Yeah, Marie, hit him.
Can't
off his butt.
I threw things at him.
I actually have another question.
Oh, go ahead, Amy.
Would Hook still be on Team Korra, or where he would have flipped to Emma's side at this point if Cora went.
I don't know. I think his loins would take him to Emma either way.
But we would still have Neil because he wouldn't have had to die with the whole sacrificial thing if we.
With the whole, like,
yeah,
double-bodied and.
Pan already.
How would Selena react to Cora then? Because Cora abandoned her.
Actually, yeah, wouldn't that be a different arc?
That would be a better story.
Wouldn't Neil get a chance Forest, though? Because remember, he got let go in the wormhole thing? So wouldn't he be Enchanted Forest with, like, Mulan and Aurora and Robin Hood and all that stuff?
Wait, say that again?
Yeah, start again.
Wasn't Neil, like, when the whole crew was going to Neverland, didn't Neil fall through one of the wormhole time portal things?
Which took him to, he was with Mulan.
To Mist Haven, and then they went and got a hitched a ride with the Shadow.
With the Shadow.
Yeah. So what if he never ended up in Neverland and still stayed in Enchanted Forest while Cora went off to Neverland? That could happen.
Well, actually, I'd almost want to say, like, if Cora went good at that point in the story, I think almost maybe, like, it seems like almost she might have helped them get, like, a doorway back or, like, a pathway back to Misthaven from Storybrooke to where maybe with the power of Cora, they might have been able to, like, establish, I don't even trade with the old country or something.
Yeah.
You know, at that point. That could be kind of interesting.
Yeah. Too bad we'll never see.
So I always wondered, I always thought it would be a better, like, formation of Outlaw Queen if Roland, if Neil's plot to take the Shadow to Neverland, if it didn't work and the Shadow got Roland, like, how I always wanted to see Robin, like, fury at Neil, but then Regina could find Roland in Neverland and take him to Robin, and I always thought that would be a much better foundation of Outlaw Queen than the match.
I applaud that.
I would read that fanfic. And sorry, live viewers, we just crashed out, but hopefully we'll be back momentarily.
Always feel to say, like, my one unforgivable moment. I was waiting for Robin to be like, why is your child more important than my child in this moment?
Yeah, sorry, Hope. We crashed out of the hangout that time.
Which is weird.
We're not having the problems we were having.
We're having new problems.
It's fun.
Yay!
But we didn't hear your point at all. It's fine.
No, why is this child more important than that child? Here he goes with the demonic voice. Be prepared.
I think it's time for the next topic. Topic.
Hey, look at it this way. At least we can all hear each other.
True.
We can.
This is
true. The audio is, like, spot on.
Agreed.
Everything just crashes every once in a while. One thing, then the other, but they alternate. So they never crash at the same time, which is good. So, Anne-Marie.
If it makes you feel better, I think I'm getting high on, like, freaking candles right now.
Nice. It's an interesting candle.
My room smells like flowers.
They have an outlaw candle.
Wonderland, baby. Bloody hell, it's Wonderland.
Okay. What?
Next topic.
What if they didn't cancel Once Wonderland, land?
Because Jane Espenson...
Didn't they say they had another storyline for Wonderland if they didn't get canceled? I thought I read that somewhere.
Did they?
Jane Espenson said that the original plan was, like, every season be focused on different worlds. So, like, the first one would be Wonderland, another one would be Neverland, another one would be, like, another one. And so that would be really cool because then they could go through all the different realms that they've introduced and build in other stories. But at the same time, I don't know, then they've carried that show, so I wouldn't want other seasons unless you
They have the White Rabbit, so the Knave could have gone with
them. The Knave goes to, like, Neverland? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I think would have been really nice is we would have gotten all these different worlds on this separate show instead of them taking over Once Prime.
Yes.
And we could have a story on Once Prime.
I want Once Upon a Time in Neverland.
And you could fill in all the unanswered questions about, like, what did Neil do in Neverland while he was a kid?
Which is why I want Once Upon a Time in Neverland.
Yes. Yeah. It would have been nice.
What deal did Hook make to get off the island with Pan?
Exactly, yeah.
Yes,
I honestly feel like that would have been a better show than the main
show. Peter Pan's relationship. How did they know each other? How did Peter Pan trust Tinkerbell?
Yes, I want all the stories. I want all the stories.
We definitely need Neverland background.
Like, it could have been.
Yeah, like never. Like once. I'm hoping that they fill in some of that with the new comic because one of the stories is Hook's. backstory more. But I just don't feel like they'll do that.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. It's not.
Because the comic's only 112 pages, so that's about 20, 25 pages. So that's like a single issue covering a single character.
Yeah.
And we would get to see more of Aladdin. They're pulling from the chat. Patty was like, what about Aladdin? And Angel's like, we're of Agrabah. So that would have been Agrabah. Nice.
Yes. Michael, you had something you wanted to say?
Oh, I don't remember. Sorry.
You fit right in, sir.
Once upon a time in Michael's head.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say they could have renamed it to Once Upon a Time in Plothole Land.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I had to.
See, I think it would have been a good idea for my Rumpel-led sliders idea and do yes. Once Upon a Time in yeah. Everywhere. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
Once Upon a Time in the Hat.
Yes.
See, I think that'd be fun because there's like, if you look at Hat Trick, there's so, I would love to learn more about Victor's world. I mean, that horror world and bringing like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and like Dracula, like that'd be so much fun to have like horror movie world
oh,
as well. Like that's
Oz.
One that I want to know
Oz.
More about. Mm. Oh yeah, Oz. Oh man, Oz suffered majorly. Like we need more of that.
They covered a lot of the major beats from the Oz story, the original Oz story though, which kind of already.
See, we didn't. Did we? I'm trying to remember. Did we even get like the Scarecrow or the Tin Man or anything like
no.
that?
No, but we did get the entirety of Dorothy. Like Dorothy comes, she befriends the witch, then the witch sends her back to Kansas or kills her or something. I can't remember exactly. I think it was implied.
Glinda, like we know nothing about Glinda. Like she, I don't even think she moved. Like she just stood there the entire time. I don't think she actually knows how to walk.
But she's not ruined. Like, she hasn't been killed or anything. She can still come
back.
She's
just frozen.
She's just, well, she's not frozen. She's just stuck in the North Country or whatever it was, the North Mountains.
I'd be frozen if I was in a North
Well, yes. What?
But I think the most we've gotten from like the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Cowardly Lion was when Zelina was going around collecting the brain, the heart.
Yeah, because that was all.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, forgot about all that.
So I think that's the most of those three characters we got was just their personality, their what they were looking for in Oz.
Yeah.
Okay. Next topic. Now I'm a robot. Okay. Hello. Okay, so this one I
have a terrible fear of robots, Bill. Please don't.
Now we'll be using this for the rest of the show. No, I'm kidding. No. No, I'm pretty sure. You know what we're gonna do here? I'm pretty sure Hope has a monologue on this one.
Yeah.
So we'll let Hope monologue on this one, and then we're gonna do lightning round and just go through a bunch of the topics. I'm gonna call them random people to give their random once if ideas. So Hope. What if Jefferson was in Once Wonderland? Go.
Okay, so the reason I originally posed this one was because Jane Espenson said that Sebastian Stan was the only actor in history to get a spinoff and not be in it, which is kind of very true because he was such a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. But for me, I feel like it would have been a very different show. I do think Jefferson and Alice had a relationship. But I think it was from Alice's first time she went there as a kid. Alice knew who the hotter was. She knew where his house was. She knew exactly where to find his house. And so I feel like it would have been a very different show because the reason they created the Knave of Hearts was to kind of fill in that lead character role because Cyrus spent the first half stuck in a jail cell. Like, he was not the lead man. It was all Will from day one. We were seeing everything from Will's eyes. We saw Storybrooke from Will's eyes. Like, he represented the viewer in the land of Alice's story. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't think we would have gotten Michael Sacha at all, which would be a huge, terrible thing because he's such a wonderful player in this world. And when it was canceled, he was the only person that fans wanted back.
Yeah, he's definitely the only person they're walking forward, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a significantly shorter monologue than I was expecting. I'm not going
to
lie.
I was expecting that to take us to 9:30, honestly.
I can keep going. I think... Because I have an entire, background play of, Jefferson's... I'm writing a fan fiction right now, and so I have, my own view of Jefferson in Wonderland and what he did there and stuff. So I can go into that if you really want, but it's all my personal theory.
I think, actually, Amy was just about to jump in with something.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't think you want to hear me go through that.
Amy, were you going to jump in?
Oh, I was just going to say, I was expecting her to go till like 11 or 12 or midnight or all night or something.
Nice. Yep. No, yeah, it definitely would have been a different show.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know if I would have liked that show if we wouldn't get Will Scarlet out of it. Because, like, honestly, he's probably my favorite new character in the Wunsch universe since he premiered, you know?
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah.
I could actually see Jefferson and Will together, and as like a duo. I mean, I think the show would have gotten higher ratings thanks to Sebastian Stan's like Captain America spiel. But I would love to see Jefferson and Will together,
like a duo.
And other ways too. But no. But I think they would have made like a crazy like power couple, and I think we would have gotten closer to your Sliders thing because Jefferson would be able to could world hop and go from world to world. I think if we would have gotten that more of once Neverland, once Agrabah.
Yeah, Michael, you had something you wanted to add, I think?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about like the Hatter's backstory as we got it in the first time he ever appeared in the series, and there are all kinds of allusions to like his daughter having a mother that wasn't around anymore. And I was thinking, like, we could have yet another opportunity for them to have explored some things that have never been addressed. Like, I think, wasn't there some kind of a theory that Grace's, or was it Grace? Is that the name of his daughter?
Yeah, I think it was Grace.
Yeah, so wasn't there some kind of a theory that Grace's mother was actually Alice or something like that?
Oh.
That was a fan theory for a while there. They came out later and said that was not true. It should be pointed out that it was never Jefferson's wife. He never once stated that it was his wife. He only ever said it was Grace's mother. So it is a fan theory, though, for a while. I personally always thought it was Dorothy, because Dorothy was the first world hopper of the show, really.
But the thing is, with the ages, both of those characters ended up when they could have run into Jefferson. I think that would have made it a little improper for ABC.
Yeah. But he would have been younger, too. But I do think they actually did talk about in the Once Upon a Time comic that's coming out in April. They're going to explore why Jefferson retired his hat. So we might actually finally get that background.
That could be good.
Yeah. You know what I mean. Do you guys think that we would have got the whole asylum scene if Jefferson had been a part of it? Because the knave kept saying like he owed Alice for getting his heart back, and he had to go there. And do you think they would have like stressed that as much? And I think like was that like the point of that scene, or were they
like? I had a feeling.
I think he would have.
Oh, go ahead, Hope.
Oh, I was gonna say, I think maybe not in that scene, but I think when Cora's episode came along, that Jefferson would have been there making hats and being crazy, because that's when he was captured.
Well, I think that pilot. Oh, go ahead, Amy. Sorry.
I was gonna say, I don't know. I think if Jefferson was a part of the show, I think it would have been more focused on him than maybe Alice and Cyrus and all that kind of stuff. Maybe like it would have opened the show would have opened up with him instead of Alice at the asylum. Mm-hmm. Maybe like just where he was at, or like if he was running to save Grace or Paige or whatever her name is, you know. That kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it could have been cool. You could definitely tell from the pilot of Wonderland, though, that it was kind of – there were some scenes that were written in a way to save special effects scenes that they had initially planned for or already shot parts of or whatever, or done the CGI work for something. But, okay, we're going to go into the lightning round now. So this is a
lightning round.
I feel like there should be a drum roll in there somewhere.
Hold on.
Here we go.
Lightning round.
Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to go around. I'm going to go around the room and ask you a question, and you're going to have about 30 seconds to answer. So, Anne-Marie, we're going to start with you.
Yes. Oh, boy. I love it. Please tell me I'm getting what I think I'm getting.
What if Mary Margaret got knocked up from Whalen season one?
That would have been awesome.
That was really cool.
Hey. Hope, lightning round. It's Anne-Marie's question.
I don't even know what to do with it, but it would be awesome. It would be just so awesome.
It would drama.
Talk about another drama, Mama. We'd be locking up a pregnant lady. And then the whole "we were cursed" would be a whole different thing.
Yeah, a whole different level.
A whole different level.
Okay, Amy, what if Cora hadn't been sent to Wonderland? You know, back when she was banished to Wonderland, became the Queen of Hearts, all that stuff. What if that hadn't happened?
Wait, can you repeat it?
What if Cora hadn't been sent to Wonderland?
She probably would have tried to rule Regina's kingdom, like get rid of the king or something like that, and to take over the queen. She would be the evil queen to Snow White instead of Regina.
Oh,
probably.
I like that.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
Because she would really wanted the power, so I could see her trying to figure out how to get rid of Regina and becoming queen herself, or getting rid of Snow and becoming queen, or, you know, something like that.
Okay, Michael, your lightning round. And this is, we have in the doc here, fill in any character here. I'm going to say, what if Snow White became the Dark One? What if she killed Rumpelstiltskin and became the Dark One? I would say, you know, when she was on the run, that whole period.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. You probably just gave me the hardest character to do that with. So completely off the top of my head, well, is this when she's lost her memory of charming, or is that not that situation?
When she was the bandit.
Yeah.
Bandit Snow.
I would say before the troll bridge situation happened, she ends up killing Rumpelstiltskin.
Okay. Okay, so I think that Snow, given how she reacted to killing Cora, how she was like panicking that she'd done such a horrible thing, I don't think she could handle the evilness of being the Dark One. So she would probably either try to go even darker by trying to trick somebody to kill her, like Zozo did, just to rid herself of the misery of it, or she would have lost her mind, completely snapped, because she wouldn't have been able to deal with the evilness.
I like your idea, Michael. I think what would have happened is that she would have used the Dark One powers to defeat Regina, and then she would have done the self suicide thing.
You didn't even give me a chance to think about the context of the story, so I'm just reacting off.
That's like it's lightning round. Okay,
yeah.
Hope. What if Neil hadn't abandoned Emma and landed her in jail? What if he had not listened to the August's typewriter?
I would like the whale question, please.
We'll give you the whale question first. What if a whale had knocked up?
It's all right. I think Neil probably would have stayed with Emma, and Emma and August, or August and Neil would have worked together on Emma to slowly make her believe over time, or at least try and get her to Storybrooke.
I like that. I definitely like that. Okay, and
so at the same time, Neil would also be very resistant against himself, because he knows that would put him on a crash course with his death.
Oh yeah, that's very true. He probably would have been arm's length kind of thing, I'm sure. Okay, Hope, I know you had an answer prepared. What if Snow White knocked up Whale, but that's wrong. The other way. Strike that, reverse it.
I think on one hand, you would have Whale struggling with trying not to repeat his own father's actions, because he was also, his father gave him a death wish for Christmas. And I think he would struggle as a character to get past that. On the other hand, I think you would have Charming struggling, because this is not his plan, it wasn't his baby, and you would have a child growing up in the Savior's shadow as the illegitimate bastard child of Snow White and Victor Frankenstein, and he would be like, he or she would have to grow up into that role. And I know Charming would do everything in his power to love this child, but it would be nothing. I've written this fan fiction. I can't talk.
No, I could.
But it would be a very different show.
Yeah, I could definitely see that love child ending up being like kind of just like the resentful, and then maybe eventually stepping into like, I don't know, like a Dark One type role or something, or at least a villainous role would be cool.
Yeah, I think it would become a villain. So
he would become the new Dark One. Done.
Done. Michael, you had something?
Well, I just wanted to add that Zelina probably wouldn't have been able to enact her spell, because she needed a baby that was like the product of true love, and I don't think that that would have counted, and I don't think that they would have had another baby if they already had
one.
Yeah. They probably would have fallen out of true love once the curse was raised.
Right.
Okay, we'll go ahead and end with me for the lightning round.
Sure.
And what if Regina had gone into the pub to meet Robin instead of running away? We would have never had Robin Hood face. Because we would have never had a reason to be sad.
I still, argue that all the merry men have, like, the matching tattoo, and Regina's going to see Friar Tuck as one and just be like, oh, no.
Nice.
Okay, but awesome. we are at about our hour here, so I guess we should get wrapping up. I know this is the last greetings episode that we're going to be recording before the new episode comes out in
finally!
First week of March, because we're going to have
this
episode and then a commentary and everything. So I figure what we'll do is we'll go around the room, say our goodbyes, and I want everyone
so
to give
long,
me
farewell.
No songs.
The, say goodbye.
We don't sing on this podcast.
Greetings from Storybrooke.
Greetings from Storybrooke. No, but we're going to go around, tell people where they can find you online, and then give us a one-sentence like summary of how you're feeling about the episodes coming up. So I guess we'll start with – let's start with Hope. Where can people find you online, and what are your thoughts? One sentence.
One sentence.
Hi, you can find me at geekygirlexperience.com. I'm also just joined with thefangirl.com and on Twitter at Hope Smallness. I am a little wary of this new season, but as long as I have a lot of Nava parts, I will be very happy. So we'll see.
Excellent. Okay, Amy, where can people find you? And one sentence, what do you think for the upcoming episodes?
You guys can find me at Amy1102 on Twitter. Okay, my one sentence would be I'm curious about this season just because of the villains and the Nava Hart storyline.
Excellent. I like how you hesitated on your Twitter handle, too. Okay, Michael.
Who am I?
My mind goes faster than what I'm speaking.
I have the same problem. That's why I have to drink the magic juice. Okay, Michael, where can people find you online in one sentence in anticipation of Season 4B?
Okay, people can find me on Twitter at mhenrylucero. And in terms of the next season, I am interested, yet without high expectations, but willing to suspend my disbelief.
Excellent. Okay, and Anne-Marie?
You can find me on Twitter at amdsimone, and I write recipes and crafty things at crunchycrafty.com. And this season, I can't wait to see Belle be a strong, powerful woman, not needing that
dark one.
Yeah. Bad word.
And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can check out my books here. I'll show one to the camera because I keep forgetting to do that. At dogboyadventures.com, here's Danger on Liberty Pier. And one sentence in anticipation. I think I'm just going to steal it from Patty in the chat room because I think this is all I could really hope for in a new season of Once Upon a Time. And Patty says, I am now shipping Friar Tuck and Regina. So,
yes.
Yeah,
hey, Bill.
Yo.
What is that Universe Box thing?
Oh, yes. We're also doing a new podcast
called
Universe Box.
Thanks for plugging our show for us.
Stories to a theme. Every week we discuss a new theme. Last episode was cookies. This upcoming episode is vacation. We're going to do fear, home, all sorts of stuff. It's a lot
birthdays.
Of fun.
We're doing birthdays.
We're doing birthdays. I think we're going to do one on Nickelodeon, too. Old school Nickelodeon, which is going to be fun.
Nice.
But you can check out that new podcast at universebox.com, and you can find that on iTunes as well.
True story. Leave a review.
Well, I guess that's it. I think we've managed to put out an episode every week but one in the hiatus. So high five on that.
Talk about progress.
What's that? What?
Would you guys be open to doing more one sift over the summer hiatus?
We'll one schedule sift? That.
Yes.
Well,
tentatively, yes.
Tentatively.
We're not going to set dates or anything, but it's been a great format so far.
It's been awesome.
We should also say thank you to Hope, because Hope's the one.
Yeah, Hope really put all this together. She, we just show up.
She came to us with this idea, and we were like, yes, we're going to steal the idea and take credit for it, except for the last 5 minutes of the last episode, and then we're going to thank you for it sincerely. So thank you, Hope.
Aww, you're welcome. Thank you for letting me be on your show and talk about things.
Oh, no, probably. Thank you for being on it. We're going to have to get you a little present out in the mail or something just to thank you for it and everything.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay, we're not going to send you a present.
Fine, you get nothing. And none for Hope Melinax.
Okay, well, thank you so much, live viewers and everything.
Thank you.
We had such a good time. We'll see you in the new half season and everything.
Coming soon.
Until next time.
Greetings from Storybrooke. Wow, nobody was good on that one.
Wow, we got really quiet. Anne-Marie.
Dancing!
Hold on. This music's still going, guys.
Oh.
But okay, thank you, live people. We love you. Thank you for hanging out in the chat and everything. It was a blast. We'll see you guys Monday, 8:30 p.m. EST.
Whoop, whoop.
First week of March. Bye.